So when you get to Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 10, and we're going to read all the way down to verse number 31. So when you get to your place, let's stand in verse number 10. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Father God, we thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I could have broken this down into two sermons, but the first, verses 10 through 20, are pretty simple. It's not something we really need to go far into depth to understand. What Jesus was saying is that which goeth into the mouth. See, this is when the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. And the religious crowd got all upset because the Father said you were supposed to wash your hands before you eat. That was their law. It wasn't God's law, it was the Father's law. It was the religion law. That, you know, you're supposed to wash your hands before you eat. Now, granted, senator, you ought to wash your hands before you eat, but that's not a law. And they had a problem with it because they didn't wash their hands before they ate. And Jesus said, don't you understand, it's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth the body, it's that which cometh out of the mouth. He told me, he said, what goes in goes through your system and comes back out again, it's not going to defile you. Now he's not talking about eating things you're not supposed to eat under the law, he's talking about dirty hands. Put it in the context of what he said. Eating with dirty hands, how many of you were ever little kids? Come on, y'all know you were little kids. Come on, you guys know you were little kids. Come on. How many of you ever ate dirt? Did it kill you? You're still alive. Clay, you ate plenty of dirt when you were a little boy. I know, I saw it. But dirt's not going to kill you. And Jesus said, that's not going to defile you. But that nasty stuff that's in your heart that comes out of that mouth of yours, that will defile you. And that's the principle of Jesus, a very simple principle he made. Now you got a dirty heart, the dirty stuff's going to come out of your mouth and it's going to defile you. But the stuff that you put in, that's not going to defile you. Eat all the dirt you want, go make a mud pie and have a good time. That's not going to defile you. But watch what comes out of your mouth. that'll defile you. And that's the basic principle of what he was teaching. But I want to get on to verses 21 through verse number 31 now, because there's an incident that takes place here that's very important. And it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Turn with me to Mark chapter 7, verse 24. There's a few more things that you'll see. Remember, when we look at one of these passages, we try to look at all of the passages that deal with the same issue. And in this case, it's Matthew and Mark. In verse 24 of Mark chapter 7, the Bible says, "And from thence he arose and went in the borders of Tyre and Sidon," the same place, "and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." I mean, and that's an awesome statement. Jesus came to Tyre and Sidon, and he goes into the house, and he tries to not let anyone know he's there, but you can't hide Jesus when he's in the house. Amen?
Yes.
And it goes on and it says, "For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician, my nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed." Here's a place in Scripture, and a lot of people don't quite understand what was going on here. But this woman comes to Jesus. He comes to Tyre and Sidon, and he enters into a house and he sits down. And this woman comes and throws herself down at his feet. And she starts to tell him, "Master, my daughter has a devil, and I want the devil cast out of my daughter. Would you get him out of my daughter?" And Jesus looks at her and says, "I can't help you, you're a dog." That contradicts a lot of what you think what Jesus would say to somebody. But there was a reason Jesus said this to her. He wasn't trying to criticize and cut down the woman. He was using the woman as an illustration for his disciples. Look what his disciples said when the woman came to him. Verse 23, Jesus didn't say anything at first. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Oh, isn't that the mind of the typical Baptist church today? Oh, would you just send that woman out of here? We don't want that woman whining and complaining in here. We don't need that around here. I've heard it. I don't know if you have or not, but I've heard the same stuff. Certain people, we don't care about that crowd out there. This is the crowd we're worried about. Send them away, Lord. I know years ago I had taken a little church down south of here for about a month. Wasn't even a whole month. And they didn't like me very well. Because I sat down the guy who led the singing because he was sleeping with the secretary and his wife wasn't too happy about it. Justly so. I sat him down and wouldn't let him sing in the church, and I was trying to counsel with him, and he was just constantly bickering back and forth with me. And they decided they were going to throw a party over someone over his girlfriend's sister's house, and all the church went over there and listened to him singing because I wouldn't let him sing in the sanctuary. That night, my family and one other person showed up for church, and we had a battle in that church. It was like it was World War I for that church and me. It was the first time I ever got into a situation like that where I was in a heated battle in a church. And it was my very first pastorate. And I get there and it just explodes on me. But we had this young lady that we had won to the Lord. She came from the local convenience store. Beverly and I, Miss Beverly, we'd go in and we'd talk to her, we witnessed to her, we'd give her tracts. And within a week or two's time, we had her coming to church. She gets saved. She starts coming to church. And the church said, we don't care about her. She's not a tithing member. We want him to sing in this church. And I said, over my dead body. And they tried to make it that way, apparently, but it didn't work out for them. But see, the thing was that this, it's the same mindset that was taking place here. She's not one of us. Get her out of here. We don't want to help her. Lord, you ain't got time for her. You got us to deal with. That's a self-exaltation. So Jesus, number one, he gets this woman comes through. This woman has a daughter that's possessed by the devil. Let's look at her approach to Jesus in verse number 22. She approached him desperately. And the woman, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. She approached him desperately. We see in Mark that she threw herself down at his feet. She approached him with desperation. She approached him desirously, desiring mercy. She says in verse number 22, we're in Matthew chapter 15. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy. So she comes with the desperation. She comes with the desire. She comes with the declaration. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. She declares who Christ is. She knew who he was. This is a Greek woman. This is not a Jew. She's not part of Israel. But she knew who Jesus Christ was. And she knew that he had the answer for her daughter's vexation. The Jews couldn't figure it out. But the Gentiles got it. So she comes, and she comes desperately, desirously, and declaratively, crying and saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. This woman was weeping, wanting, and worried about her daughter. There was a condition her daughter had she couldn't fix. Could you imagine being a parent, and some of you have, that you have a child and you can't do anything for them. They're sick. And you can't help them. This woman comes to Jesus and she says, Jesus, my daughter's at home. And she's not well. She's got a devil. Not just sick, she's got a devil. If you understood the demonic possession, that it goes on today too. Parents just don't have the know-how or the sense to be able to say, my child's possessed with a devil. Would you do something about it? But you know how many children are possessed with devils today? Take a look around. Take a look around at these people that walk down the street doing all kinds of crazy stuff. These are people that are possessed with devils, folks. I remember, I think it was Anthony and I were driving down here on Farm, whatever that road is. We turned a corner, we're driving down, this guy's walking down the street, just punching himself in the head. Mm. Was that you that was with me? Mm. Punching, well, why? He's got a devil, that's why. They got devils in them, folks. They walk around yelling and screaming at themselves. Who do you think they're talking to? This is demonic activity. Our psychiatric world wants to say it's psychiatric. And then when you give them a pill, all the pill does is calm them down a little bit. It doesn't stop the devil that's in them. It doesn't run them out. But this woman came and she said, Lord, there's something I can't handle. You know, here's my daughter. I've done everything else for her all her life. I was able to deal with everything else. But here's an issue with my daughter I can't handle. Lord, I need your help. And again, verse 23, he answers her not a word. He sits there quiet. You ever prayed? I felt like you weren't getting an answer. You know, sometimes there's a reason you're not getting an answer. In this case, there was a very good reason she didn't get an answer. God was trying to prove his disciples. Christ was proving his disciples. He was going to prove their attitude. Their attitude was wrong. Their attitude was, get rid of her. She's not one of us. Send her off, Lord. Don't help that woman. She's not one of us. But the fact of the matter was, she needed help. Regardless of whether she was one of us or not. And the help that she needed could have made her one of them. But they didn't care about that. But he did answer. He answered her one to prove his disciples' hearts. We see that in verse 23. But he answered not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he also answered her to provoke her worship. But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Watch what happened. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now here's this woman. He just got done telling her that he's not here for her. He can't help her. And she worships him anyway. And continues to press him. She said, I know what you said, but I'm not listening. I'm going to worship you. And verse number 25, it says, then she came and she worshiped, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered in verse 26 and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." His response to her first was to prove his disciples he didn't give a response. Secondly, he gave a response to provoke her worship. Now he gives her a response to prove her great faith. She's not going to just give up and say, "Well, you caught me a dog, I'm out of here." She still has a daughter at home with the devil. She's not giving up. She knows he's the only one with the answer. So she goes and she says, and verse number 27, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." I mean, you got a dog, right? You ever let it out of the house when you're eating?
Not generally, but afterwards.
Afterwards, it comes out, should lick up the floor and everything else. I remember when I was a kid, I was glad we had a dog when I was a kid, because I wasn't eating any green beans. Under the table they went. Glad he'd be sitting down under the table. He got a full course meal. Because I'd give him a green bean, somebody else give him something else. He was just eating all the time he was at the table. There were six of us kids giving him that food. But the dogs do eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And this woman makes this statement. She says, "Truth, yes, it's not good to give the bread to a dog. Yeah, I'll accept my position of a dog, Lord. But at least let me have some crumbs. At least let me have a little something. Give me something, Lord." What faith? He demonstrated to his disciples that she had more faith than they did. Because they were ready to say, "Get her out of here. You can't help. You can't help her. Just get her out of here." But he could help her. But the woman, not only was she weeping, wanting and worried, but then she begins worshiping. And she became willing to accept the position of a dog, if that's what it took, to get her daughter healed. "Yes, I'll be a dog, Lord. True, I'll be a dog. Just let me have the crumbs. Just give me the crumbs." Notice where she was according to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Verse 25 says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." Oh, can I tell you this evening, there's much to be done at the feet of Jesus. You know, we sing, or the girls sing up here and on the platform, "When I leave this world of sorrow." And I don't remember all the words, but they say, "Look for me at Jesus' feet." Can I tell you this evening, don't wait till you leave this world of sorrow to find yourself at Jesus' feet. Jesus' feet is the place you need to be. This is where the woman came. A Greek woman, a woman that didn't know anything about this religion. All she knew was, "That's the one that can heal my daughter. That's the one I'm going after." And when he said, "Get out of here," more or less he said, "You're a dog. You know, I can't give it to you. I can't do this. I can't do this." She said, "Yes, Lord, I'll accept whatever you say. I'll take the position you give me. I'll humble myself as a dog. Please, give my daughter some crumbs. Just get the devil out of my daughter. I'll take the position of a dog. But Lord, would you do it?" That's what's wrong with most people today. Most people today have too much pride and arrogance to come to the Lord and say, God, I'll humble myself. I'll let people walk all over me if that's what it takes to get your blessing. And this woman, she came and she humbled herself to be a dog. A dog that would lick up the crumbs under the table if that's what it took to get her daughter saved. If that's what it took to get her daughter healed. I'm talking about your family members here, folks. What position will you assume to get them saved? To get them healed? Are you going to have this pompous position that I'm up here and you're going to have to come up here to get saved? Thank God Jesus didn't do that, huh? Amen. He condescended to the lowest estate of man to be born in a manger in Bethlehem. To be raised in the lower parts of the city. Nothing to be esteemed of. Why? So that he could reach the people in the lower parts of the city. He wasn't born up there in the pinnacle of the city. He wasn't born in the high place with the high class people. He was born in a feeding trough. In a lowly manger. Why? Because that's how he came all the way down to the lowest so that he could reach them. How far are you willing to go to reach them? How far are you willing to go to reach your families? Are you willing to become a dog and just lick up the crumbs at the master's table so that you can see your family members get healed? See, the physical application was a physical healing. But the spiritual application is a spiritual healing because they're sin sick. They're dying of a sin sickness. They're dying, in fact, of a demonic possession. How far are you willing to go to get them saved? How far are you willing to go to get your neighbor saved? You say, but you don't understand. They slammed the door in my face the last time I talked to them. Well, that's good. You're not quite a dog yet. Maybe they haven't got you on a leash yet or put you in the fence somewhere. But how far are you willing to go to reach your neighbor? Are you willing to become a dog and lick up the crumbs? And try to reach them? I'm just preaching tonight on this passage of this woman and how far she went. Because she loved her daughter so much. How much do you love your families? How much do you love your neighbors? Are you willing to make yourself down to a dog? Are you willing to spend some time at Jesus' feet? And just be whatever he wants you to be. That you might be what you need to be for your neighbors. That you might be what you need to be for your families. Spending some time at Jesus' feet. This lady came and she wasn't willing to just walk away. When he said no the first time, she worshiped. When he said no the second time, she reasoned with him. And she demonstrated great faith. Willing to take on the position of a dog. And look at what he said. Verse 28, Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. He said, I'm going to grant your will. I'm going to grant what you've asked me. Because of your faith. Not because of your race. Not because you're a Jew, because you're not. Not because you're one of God's chosen few, but because you had great faith. See, you don't have to be one of the highest esteemed people to get your prayers answered. You just have to be one that's willing to spend some time with Jesus. And take the crumbs and be a dog if you have to be. See, we sometimes get so consumed in who we are that we forget who he is.
That's right.
And this is what Jesus was doing here. This woman came and she came to him. She was not qualified. She wasn't even qualified to approach him. But he didn't stop her. She wasn't qualified to even ask him for a prayer. Why? Because he was sent to the house of Israel. Not to them. But it didn't stop her. She wasn't qualified to worship him, but it didn't stop her. And when she worshiped, And when she said, don't the dogs even get to eat the crumbs from the master's table? When she willingly became a dog, he said, you know, that's what I knew she was going to do. This woman, she became a dog in the eyes of Christ just so that her daughter could be healed. There's healing at Jesus' feet. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just for physical things. It's the spiritual healing, the biggest thing. Now, you can pray about physical things all day long and not get an answer, because if it's not God's will, it's not going to happen. But it is God's will for people to be saved. So that's where you ought to be praying most on. This woman came and she made herself willing to be a dog. She approached him. He answered her and she abased herself. She acknowledged the truth. She said, truth, Lord. She accepted her position as a dog. And she appealed in faith. But Lord, don't the dogs get to eat the crumbs? After this happens, in the same hour, her daughter was made whole, that very hour. Verse number 29 says, And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. Pictorially, this is as Jesus had finished his work, and as on earth, when Jesus finished his work, he ascended to the Father, and is now seated there, healing whosoever will come to his faith. Now look what happens here. Verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. There's only one place you can cast them to, and that's Jesus' feet, folks. You want to reach them? Cast them at Jesus' feet. But you're going to have to cast yourself there too to reach them. They cast them down at Jesus' feet. The Bible says they healed them. Verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to behold, the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Everything Jesus did on earth brought glory to God. What about you? What about your life? Does everything that you do in your life bring glory to God? Everything. For the unsaved, there's healing for the sin-sick soul at the feet of Jesus. For the Christian brother or sister, there's healing at Jesus' feet for you, casting your care upon Him, like we're told in 1 Peter. Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There's healing at Jesus' feet for whatever the problem is, whatever the issue is, whatever's wrong, whatever's bothering you, whatever's hurting you. There's healing at Jesus' feet. All you got to do is take it to Him. Be willing to humble yourself before God. Over and over again, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will go to their land. God's constantly telling His people to humble themselves. This woman's an example of someone who humbled herself. She abased herself to be a dog. Would you be willing to do the same? There's healing at Jesus' feet. Don't wait till you leave this world of sorrow. Find healing today. Find some healing today. With your heads bowed.